Good afternoon and welcome to Tom Harris USA, episode number 45. And this is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois. This is kind of a special episode this time because this episode marks the 6-month anniversary of Tom Harris USA. I started the show in April. Now, the first shows were uploaded to the net and to, you know, RSS feed for the first time on the 27th of April. So this week, it actually marks the official 6-month anniversary of the show. But I actually recorded the first three before that. So really the beginning of April, but who's counting? Anyway, this is 6-month anniversary of Tom Harris USA. And in the beginning, of course, it was called the Tom Harris Podcast, for lack of a better name. And it took me a while, I think episode 10, before I actually came up with the name that it has now. And it's funny that there are still people out there 6 months later who still call it the Tom Harris Podcast. I'm looking at you, Ross Patzelt. I love you, Ross. So hooray, 6 months of Tom Harris USA. And this week is also my 47th birthday. Monday will be my 47th birthday. I believe I'm going to be celebrating it on the Ross Patzelt radio program. And you can go there to Ross Patzelt, that's RossPatzelt.co.uk. And he does a live show. And I will probably be going on there on Monday morning. And that will be probably the extent of the observation of my 47th birthday. To be honest, I don't really celebrate much of anything holiday-wise or birthday-wise. And it's not really because I'm an atheist, and I know that some people have suggested that. It's more because I don't see the point of it. And I do observe holidays in a very general way, but I don't really go all out and do a big, you know, I don't do a Christmas tree or anything like that. It seems to me to be kind of a waste of time. And I'm sure that there are probably other people out there who are similarly inclined that don't want to make a fuss about all this stuff. You know, it is all very commercial, and I've never been very comfortable with that. I used to get excited about holidays when I was a kid, but certainly since my mid-30s or so, I really haven't had any interest in doing it. So I really don't. Anyway, news from the job front this week. Now, I did have another interview. I mentioned last time that I hadn't even had any nibbles for job offers or anything on the horizon. But I did have this week, actually during the recording of the last show, I had a phone call for, and this is another agency, and I've talked about that a little bit before in the show. And I did go downtown yesterday and had an interview with another agency. Now, I have a pretty good feeling about this one. This seems to be a agency that specializes in temp to hire for financial professionals. And had a very good interview with them, very nice people. The name of the company is called Aerotech. And they have this gorgeous office in one of these high-rises downtown. And it's always fun for me to go into these tall buildings and ride the elevator up to the 17th floor or whatever. Very nice guy. And I'm hoping that they'll be able to find me something. And, of course, I'm still looking other places as well. It's not just them. Now, this week I also had another scam job offer, and I talked about this last time because I had a company that responded to me. They responded to my resume that I had posted online, and it was a job that was not what I was looking for. It was like an insurance sales job, the pyramid scheme. You'll remember. If you don't remember, go back to episode 44 and listen to the beginning of that show because I talked about it there. This one was a little bit different. Now, this one, they advertised a job, and they were very vague on details, of course. They advertised it as a cash posting accounts receivable job. Now, that was something that would be right up my alley because it's comparable to other jobs that I've had. And so I went ahead and I applied for that job. I sent them my resume, I sent them a cover letter, and 24 hours I got an email from them saying, okay, well, you know, thank you for your application. We have done extensive research on you, and we've decided that you're suitable for this position, so you can become our mystery shopper. It's like, wait a minute, mystery shop? That's not the job that I applied for. That, you know, and they billed it actually wrong. I believe probably was a real case of false advertising. And I would not want to become involved in this company. I'll tell you why. And it's A, they're being dishonest about the job that they have. B, this letter that they sent me was so poorly written and so unprofessionally written that I think it was probably a Nigerian scam, because they wanted me to set up a special bank account. And, you know how that goes. One of these Nigerian money things where you end up losing, you know, whatever you put into it. Nonsense. Just absolute nonsense. I did have another response to my resume as well this week, and unfortunately, it was out in the suburbs. And that is very frustrating, because a lot of jobs are available out there. But it's one of the reasons why I didn't continue with the job I have, is because I didn't want to go on a two-hour commute each way up to Wheeling. And that's what a lot of these things actually want you to do. So I had to turn down a request for an interview because it was way, way out in the western suburbs. And I take it that they're having some problems out in the suburbs finding financial professionals, because there are ads available for these companies. If I had a car, I would consider it. But because I'm restricted to public transportation, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I had to send them a very polite email back saying, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't accept this because the logistics would just be too difficult, and I don't want to spend 2 hours a day or 4 hours a day commuting back and forth between here and where you are. So that's about it from the job front. Hopefully I'll have a little bit more to report this week. Also, since the last show, Pete and I took the canoe trip I was talking about. I mentioned this on the last show, that he and I were going to go canoeing on the Fox River. So we did that on Tuesday, and it was an entirely different experience than the last time we did that trip. That trip, the previous one, we had done in August or September. I don't really remember exactly when it was, but it was during a warmer part of the year, and it was on a weekend. So there were just tons of people on the river. Lots of drunk people drinking beer and shouting and yelling, and we had nice weather for it, but it was loud, and there were always people that we were having to deal with noise and having to steer around people, etc. This was a completely different experience because the river was empty. In fact, for this entire 12 miles that we canoed on Tuesday, we were the only ones on the river, and it was quiet. It was gorgeous. Now, it wasn't the best weather. I mean, it was overcast all day. Up until the very end of the trip, we didn't have any sun. And then we had a few raindrops here and there, but nothing to be concerned with. But because it was so quiet, we saw a lot of wildlife on this trip. Lots of birds, mainly birds. But we saw kingfishers, and we saw sandpipers and sanderlings. Probably, you know, three or four different types of water birds. We also saw a bald eagle, and we heard a bald eagle, and it's very distinctive cry a little bit later on. And apparently there are several nesting pairs along the Fox River, so I'm sure the reason we didn't see them before was because of all the noise. We also saw four wild turkeys. Now, I think they were probably all females. They all looked like females to me. And so there may have been a gobbler around, but we didn't see it. And apparently there's lots and lots of wild turkeys in that area, and people go hunting them and so forth all the time. But we would not have seen that on our previous trip because of all the noise and ruckus and so forth. And it was just a nice, relaxing float down the river. The other difference is that the water level was a lot lower this time. The water had been at least 2 feet higher on our previous canoe trip, so we didn't have to worry too much about shoals and running aground and so forth. And we did on this trip. We actually did run aground a couple of times because of very, very shallow areas of the river, and we had to kind of push our way across them. And it was a little bit different. Now, I was wrong last time, and I said that Pete had not been canoeing more than once in his life. And I should qualify that remark, because Pete had been canoeing prior to our previous Fox River trip, but he had been canoeing on lakes and ponds rather than river canoeing. And what I should have said was this was his second time canoeing on a river, that where he had to contend with current and actually having to steer and things like that. And of course, I should have known better because I was actually with him on a couple of those canoe trips before that. When we went up to my family reunion up in Minnesota, we actually took a long canoe trip on the lake, which I think is called Lake Nokomis. And we had gone to see the pelican colony on that lake. So we did kind of a big circle on that lake, which was also very nice. But it's a little bit different from canoeing down a river when you're having to contend with having to steer around, you know, things. You had to go through rapids and things like that. To me, it's an entirely different type of canoeing. But I was wrong about, you know, Pete's inexperience. Now, he hasn't done a lot of canoeing, but he certainly was not completely inexperienced. So, sorry about that, Pete. I've issued my apology on the show. So despite Pete's inexperience with canoeing, he did a really, really nice job of helping me steer on this trip. And I think that with more practice, he'll become even more confident, and I would even let him steer, because it's not hard to learn to read a river, but it does take experience. So I'm just hoping that he and I can do more canoeing together, because I had a real good time. It's always fun to do things with Pete. But I do really enjoy canoeing and getting out into nature and being outside. And that's something that we both need right now, because he and I are both looking for work. And it's hard sometimes to be trapped inside. And, you know, of course, I have the show to do, and I have other things that I do as well. But it is really nice to get away, even when we're in the middle of job hunting, and take some time off and do something like going on a canoe trip. If I could get him interested in hiking, it would be even better. Anyway, I love you, Pete. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a brand new listener to the program, and I'd like to extend a very warm welcome to Mr. Scott Mitchell. Now, Scott is a podcaster, and he does his own podcast, which is called Uncommon Sense. Now, Scott, this is something that you might want to address, and that is it's very difficult to find your podcast. It seems as though there's a couple other podcasts that have the same name. Now, the way that you would find Scott's podcast to go and listen is go to his personal website, and his website address is www.computerhelpzone.com/podcast. And that should take you to Scott's personal podcast page. Now, he does two podcasts. He does his own personal podcast, which is called Uncommon Sense. And then there's a second podcast that he does, which is a collaborative podcast, which is called Plain Dudes Radio. Now, Plain Dudes Radio is a little bit different because that's a collaborative podcast, and they set a topic and then different people send in audio. And it's kind of a cool idea, really, and it's something that I will probably be participating in, where each person will submit their own commentary on a particular subject. In a way, that's kind of like an APA. What I've talked about before about how comics fandom back in the 80s and 90s would have these APAs. And I guess there's some still around where everybody would submit a zine, and then they'd be collated together and distributed to all the people. It's a little bit different, obviously, for an audio clip. So this is a case of doing this collaboratively, and then I would guess that Scott plays the role of the central mailer, edits all of the clips together, and then uploads it to the internet for everybody to download. So it's a kind of a cool idea. And they have a Facebook site for the Plain Dudes Radio. And I think you could just search for Plain Dudes Radio on Facebook and find their community. And they have all the announcements of the various shows, and you can go ahead and submit your own audio clips. Now, I do apologize, Scott, because I'm not going to play your entire comments. And part of the reason for that is that I'm unsure what is personal and what is commentary for the program. But I will address some of the things that you talk about in your audio clip. And I'm very, very happy to get audio clips. And incidentally, anybody out there, if it's easier for you to participate in the program by sending an audio clip, I want to encourage you to do that. It's not something that I've done on the show before, but I'm always happy to get feedback. And if it's easier for you to do an audio clip, please feel free to send it through. I believe that the Tom at Tom Harris USA address can take attachments up to a certain size. And I think it's probably a pretty big size. And if that doesn't work, you can actually email them to the Gmail account, which I don't give out on the show very much anymore, which is harrispodcast@gmail.com. And you can get larger files that way. I will ask, though, that if people want to submit audio comments, that you actually divide your audio comments up by topic, because it'll make things a lot easier to organize. So if you go off onto a tangent, it'll make it a little bit easier to kind of just snip out that bit. So if you're going to, for example, leave a comment about the canoeing, you can say something like, in regards to canoeing, I hope you didn't get wet, you know, or whatever. But it's an interesting idea. I think I'm going to steal it. I feel so devious. Anyhow, it seems that Scott comes to podcasting through an entirely different route than I did. I came in through podcasting, as most people know, because I was listening to Chris Reardon at a United Kingdom talk and to Ross Patzelt's show and a number of others. And I've come to think of it as more like doing a radio show. Not necessarily a live radio show, because I do edit the hell out of my show, because I go off on complete tangents all the time. But generally what I mean by that is that I have a more structured approach to the show. Now, I have a half-hour show, and I try to keep it at a half an hour. And I can understand from Scott's point of view, and he said in his comment that my show is limited. I limit my show. And yeah, that's probably true, and it's a limit of format. And as I explained to him in my response email to him, the reason I do that is to avoid too much going off on tangents. Because if I run out of things to say about a particular topic, I'll end up repeating myself and talking in circles and all this other stuff. It's just something that I understand about myself. And I would rather keep the show shorter. And I do the show every 4 days, so it's a couple times a week almost that, you know, I put my show out. And you know, talking with Joe Morris, as it was the other day, he was saying that one of the things about my show that he likes is the fact that it's short. So I guess it's just one of those things that is to each his own. And if you have a less structured view of what a podcast should be, then, you know, that's more power to you, I guess. You know, the different strokes are different folks. But I kind of look at that as a audio blog. And I kind of what I've heard of Scott's show, it does seem more like an audio blog to me than a structured podcast. And there's nothing wrong with that, of course. It's just a little different than what we do. But, of course, you know, who's to say? I mean, what is the difference between an audio blog and a podcast anyway? Does anybody really have any idea? Let me know. Tom@TomHarrisUSA.com. I always like hearing people's comments, audio or otherwise. So Scott actually weighed in a little bit on the meaning of life discussion. And this was something that I was a little bit irked, I guess you could say, because I didn't get a lot of response for this. And I believe that this was brought up in episode number 30, right before I went on vacation, 30 or 31. And I had asked people about the meaning of life and try to ask people to sum it up in two words or, you know, a series of short words or whatever. And the definition that I came up with for the meaning of life is, the meaning of life is to explore. Now, Scott has his own take on this, so I'm going to go ahead and play his clip here.
Okay, the meaning of life. Now, as I said, I have religious beliefs, so I know our mileage is going to vary. You know, pure and simple, if you just take God out of the equation, what's the meaning of life? To reproduce and die. I mean, truthfully, look at what happens. That's the only rule you can give, isn't it? The meaning of life is to reproduce and die. Now, without God, I don't know that there's much of any other real meaning to life, is there? Without anything to give it meaning? Why is there any meaning to life? If this all just happened and there is no greater purpose to all this, so to speak, then how can there be a meaning? You know, it would not matter what you did. You know, it happened, and oh well, and it's happened a million other times in a million other ways in a million other parts of the galaxy with a million and other species. You know, it would just be that scientific and that cold and that meaningless. There would be no meaning, at least to me, because I went grasping at that for a while, and that's what ultimately led me to a faith. At the bottom of the stack, I am a scientist. Well, you say, well, how could I believe in God, you know? Well, I can't prove God. God is not logical at all. And I believe that for most people, religion is more of a need than anything they can prove. They like to try to prove it, and there's some of them that are very arrogant about it and all that, and I don't like that. I am very accepting of other people's beliefs if they're accepting of mine. But I think belief systems are very often based upon deep down in, pain and pleasure. Basically needs. People need to believe the things that they believe. And I admit to it in my case. I have a hard time fathoming a life in a universe that has no purpose and is going nowhere, and when I'm dead, I'm dead. And there's a need in me to believe that there's something better. So I, if you will, cherry-pick the data that leads to that conclusion, however unlikely. But, you know, as I like to say, winning megabucks, winning lottery, you know, Powerball is extraordinarily unlikely, yet people do it every day. So, but if you're not in the game, you can never win. And I don't consider the God to be like the God game either. That's not what I'm saying. So that's kind of in a nutshell, some of my beliefs. I can go into it more, but in any case, the purpose of life without God is basically, you know, reproduce and die, as far as I can tell. I don't know if you're going to like my answer or not, but it'll give us something to talk on, in any case. But to my way of thinking, the purpose of life would be to, A, enjoy yourself, B, don't hurt the rest of the world, and C, try to help the rest of the world a little bit, if you can. Maybe, if nothing else, through your own example, but, you know, let other people know you're there to help. I figure I'll shine my light. If people see my happiness, they see that I'm enjoying life, my life's going all right, I've had a good one, then, you know, maybe they'll say, you know, he's not doing so bad. I'm not that happy he is. Maybe he's got something there. And then maybe they won't. I'm not going to push it on anybody, but all I can hope to do is inspire somebody, and then when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Because you can't lead, you know, that's that old saying, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. You can't force anybody to believe anything until they're ready. And then maybe they'll ask. So that's kind of my philosophy on all of that. And that's kind of how I lead my life. So that's my belief, purpose of life. For me, my purpose in my life is to enjoy the heck out of it, not hurt anybody while I'm at it, and try to help some people. And I think if you can raise kids that have that as their philosophy or purpose of life, it's not so bad, you know? It's really not so bad. So I wonder what you think about all that.
So there we have it, the meaning of life, according to Scott. And there's not a lot to disagree with there, Scott. I don't see things quite the same way as you do. Now, I will say one thing, that there is a distinct difference, in my opinion, between the meaning of life and the purpose of life. I don't see them as the same thing. And, you know, part of that is, you know, you can have a purpose, but does that purpose have any meaning? I don't know. So, see, I don't quite see them as the same thing. Now, you corrected yourself in that regard. You know, said the purpose of life is to reproduce and die. I don't see life as that limited, but also, to reproduce and die is not a meaning, if you understand what I'm saying. So, but you did go ahead and qualify that by saying that the purpose of life is to enjoy the hell out of life, to help other people, not hurt other people. And I have no disagreement whatsoever with that. However, I might add, you don't need God for that. you can do that whether or not you have a religious faith or not. And of course, I have many sincere religious disagreements with friends, and including yourself, I will count you as a friend, and also with my friend Joe Morris, who does American Talk USA, who is also, he's an evangelical Christian. Sounds like he's a bit more conservative and dogmatic than you are in that regard, but the bottom line is still the same. You're both theists who have the certain value system that you've come to believe over the years. And if you go back and listen to some of my older shows, you'll see that I used to also be an evangelical Christian. So I kind of understand where you're coming from. But my point is that even without God, you still can have meaning, and you can still have the same meaning, which is something more substantial, I think, than simply to reproduce and die. But that's my take on it. And of course, if anybody else has their take on it, they can certainly contact the show, tom@tomharrisusa.com. There you have it. If anybody else would like to weigh in, I'd be more than happy to have other people contribute to this conversation. So I think it's a great thing to talk about. Now, I do apologize. I did edit your comment slightly. And the reason why I did that is because you were talking about a couple of other podcasters, and taken that clip out of context, it was a little bit confusing. So just be aware that there was a little, about 10 seconds snipped out of that, and hope you don't mind. But I would rather stay on topic than kind of go off on a tangent that way. Now, you did make a very interesting point, and it's something that I've observed also in the past, is that some people have a need to have a religious justification for their life. And I've talked about that on the show before. I don't think you need a God in your life. Obviously, I don't think you need one, because I don't have one. But it doesn't need to be scary to think that life is simply, you live and you die, and that's all there is. And I've talked about this in the past on the show as being a function of ego. And I still adhere to that, because it's very scary for a lot of people to think of a world in which you don't exist. And, of course, over the centuries, religion has been used to control people and say, well, you need to do what we want you to do because you'll be rewarded for it in the next life. Now, there's a quote from Mark Twain that I like a lot, and it's not widely known, I guess, to the general population, but Mark Twain was an atheist. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Mark Twain, and I would guess that would be mainly people from other countries, he was probably the preeminent wit of the 19th and early 20th century here in the States. And he had this to say. He said, "I'm not afraid of death. I was dead for billions of years before I was born, and it caused me not the least inconvenience." And we could have a long discussion on that alone, and that's something that I welcome. And I welcome comments, and I welcome this discussion, because I think it's very important that we have these discussions. In a lot of ways, having the discussion is the whole point of the discussion. And sharing ideas is the whole point. And I don't want to get too, you know, I don't try not to be negative, you know. I do try to be open-minded about things. Now, it's very unlikely that I will go back to being a theist. And it's because I've had the years of experience that I had in the church, and being surrounded by it, that it just doesn't make sense to me anymore, having dissected it as thoroughly as I have. But, you know, to each his own. And that's sort of the point. So anyway, we're getting a little bit short on time here. I will continue to talk about this email later, perhaps. But I do thank you, Scott, for sending along this very nice audio clip. And again, if anybody wants to send audio clips as comments to the show, I'd be more than happy to welcome it. Again, you can listen to Scott's show, Uncommon Sense, by going to www.computerhelpzone.com/podcast. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show for now. Thanks for listening. This is Tom at Tom Harris USA, signing off. We'll see you next time at episode number 46. Have a great evening, folks.